Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since leaves. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Amy Victoria Hughes about her experience as business operator in the rent-to-rent services accommodation industry. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Gavin. Very well, thank you. How are you?
Okay. It's nearly the end of the week, which I'm looking forward to be honest. But this is about you, Amy. Let's talk about you. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you got into rent-to-rent service accommodation, because it's something that's becoming more and more popular now, which we'll go into, you know?
Yeah. So when leaving school, I decided that further education wasn't something that I wanted to do. So I went into the accounts industry. I worked my way up over a period of 10 years up to the position of accountant. And then I studied for the last 2.5 years to become a qualified accountant. Once I'd qualified, I actually decided that that wasn't the career path that I wanted to do. So I, 2 weeks in to not studying, I decided to start studying property. And now we're nearly 2 years on and I started my property business and I'm working full time in that at the moment.
Well done to you. You're taking the big steps and the leap of faith. I think it's fantastic, you know, because it takes a lot, doesn't it? It takes a lot to sometimes make that shift from one thing to another.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I think a lot of people, when I've told them kind of what industry I was previously in, you know, to be an accountant, it's a really good, well-known industry. A lot of people were quite surprised, actually, when I told them what I had done. But I think sometimes you just got to go for it. And I'm definitely someone who believes in all or nothing. And if you can't put your all into something, then I don't think it's really going to succeed. So, yeah, that's my motto in life, all or nothing.
Brilliant. Well done. Look, tell us a bit about rent-to-rent service accommodation, because nowadays, as time's gone by, there's so many different property strategies out there. It just depends what you want to do, what you want to achieve. But let's talk about rent-to-rent service accommodation.
Yeah, sure. So rent to rent itself, it's where my business will rent a property from a landlord and then we will rent out the property by having permission from the landlord. So that's the rent to rent bit. And then the service accommodation, which is what I do, is where we rent the property out on a short term basis to our guests. And we clean the property, we maintain the property, and we look after the property for the landlord. So it's very hands off. That's what rent to rent service accommodation is in a nutshell, really.
I think there's different. Not, we're going to stick to rent-to-rent service accommodation, but there's rent-to-rent. You can do rent-to-rent and do other things with the property as well, can't you?
Yeah. So there is rent-to-rent HMO, which is houses of multiple occupancy, so where it's rented out by the room. So I do know a lot of operators who also use the rent-to-rent model to rent the property from the landlord and then rent the property out as a HMO, but I've decided to go down the service accommodation route. For me, having kind of a property that you're renting out as a HMO and you've got to find 5, 6, 7 tenants who all get along, for me at the time, that isn't something that I kind of wanted to get involved with. Service accommodation, you know, we take all the correct precautions with the guests that we have stay. So it's more just kind of a family or a couple of people that you're dealing with rather than, you know, houses of multiple occupancy.
Absolutely. I hear about rent-to-rent service accommodation internationally. It's big news. I mean, I've seen things going on in America, as well as the Middle East, Asia, etc. I know people that have done the model here, and I think they've taken it abroad as well. And you see so much. You hear people earning like thousands and thousands of pounds each month. I mean, is that happening?
Thousands of pounds. Yeah. I mean, profit on one property dependent on who you get in there and where the bookings have come from. Is it a direct booking? Is it through a booking platform? Depends how much profit you make. But kind of on average per property, as long as you're doing it right, you should be looking at a profit of around £1,000, which, you know, is a big difference, let's say, to renting it out to one tenant on a fixed term contract for 6 months. And I think that's what's appealing to people these days. You know, there's a lot more benefits to renting out a property on a serviced accommodation model rather than just to a normal tenant, because, you know, you hear about cases where the tenant has become a squatter in the house and they haven't paid the rent, and landlords have had to have months of no income, and then finally getting the tenant to the court. And then, you know, that's very, very costly for landlords. So, you know, with our model on the rent to rent, that can't happen due to the contracts that we set up. So it's just really a safer investment, even for the landlord, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I have heard that. And I think worst case scenario, if people are not leaving, you can actually call the police. Is that right? And have them just escorted off.
Yeah,
premises.
Yeah, that's right. Because our guests that stay, and I like to call them guests, not tenants, because they are our guests. They're not a tenant of ours. They sign a terms and conditions contract rather than a tenancy contract, which states, you know, the moment they don't pay, that we can kick them out. We can go there, we can change the keys, you know, change the locks, I mean. And so, yeah, it's just a safer model, I think.
Absolutely. Have you had to have anyone removed before?
Removed, no. I have had to attend a property and give someone an initial warning to state that if they continue to make the loud noise that they were making, because they were playing quite loud music this one night, and it got reported by a neighbour. So we actually visited the property and just said, you know, this is your warning. If this continues, you will be asked to leave. And then we didn't get the report from the neighbour again, and they quietened down. So even to the basis of that, and having the grounds to visit a property and give them that one notice, it does play a huge part, I think, in people's even respect and the relationship that you have with them, because they know we can kick them out. Whereas a tenant, you don't get that.
Absolutely. Do you know anyone that's had to use police to get people out?
Me personally, no.
Okay.
So I've never heard of a story that someone has had to remove someone by the police. My only dealings with the police in this scenario was I did have a complaint from numerous guests of one of my properties. So this property is on an estate, you know, you've got families living around there. And basically the neighbour of the property, he kept going round to our accommodation and asking the guests to keep the noise down. But this was, you know, kind of 8 p.m. They weren't having a party or anything. It was literally just a TV. And he kept doing it to our guests. So we had to actually inform the police we put it down to harassment, because really it was harassment of our company, and harassment for our guests. So we had to get the police involved with regards to that. And then they went round, gave him the warning. Unfortunately, we haven't heard from him again. But I know that a lot of people, they're a bit sceptical of this model due to their neighbours. But we have all the correct, you know, facilities and the correct processes in place to try and keep that down to a minimum. And, you know, we really do respect the neighbours, and that's who really we're here to please. We don't want, you know, to start upsetting neighbours of any of our properties. So
absolutely, absolutely. And if people have multiple properties, you can earn basically thousands of pounds each month, I'm guessing. I mean, I've seen on social media, you see on social media people saying, especially abroad as well, I think America, I think it was, people explaining that they've got this many properties they're holding, rent to rent service accommodation. And then obviously when you times that with the amount of income coming in each month, as in profit wise, people can make a good living from it by the sound of things and, you know, do it full time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, well, is how it's enabled me to not go back to work for someone ever again. To be honest, at the beginning, when I started this, I didn't think that this was going to be long standing, maybe, you know, when you kind of before you're doing something, I definitely was all in. I was fully invested, but I had 6 months salary as a security net that I could pay myself for 6 months of a full time wage. So that was kind of my security blanket. But, you know, I just reinvested that money to get more and more units. And fortunately, I never, ever had to touch it to pay myself. I only had to use it to reinvest to get more units on board. So, yeah, it's really good.
Well done to you. I think that's brilliant, brilliant strategy, you know. How did you get into service accommodation and, you know, where did you hear about it? How did it all start?
So I did property training, which was Samuel Leeds, and I did his rent-to-rent and his serviced accommodation courses online. And then I just implemented what I was taught. And I'm not going to lie, on the very first viewing that I ever went on, I did turn up and I really was nervous because I thought that I didn't know what I was talking about, but I managed to secure that very first unit. So clearly I did understand what I was talking about because I managed to secure it. So just got the training, got the knowledge, and then I implemented it,
which is brilliant. In a way, you learned, and also it's a bit of blind faith as well. Like, yeah, you just went through the process at each stage. Obviously you believed in yourself, the best, you know, did the best you could, all the effort put in, and then it looks like in the end you've worked out really well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just growing, expanding all the time, you know, constantly looking for more properties to rent from landlords. So it's going really well. Thanks, Gavin.
How many units have you got at the moment?
So at the moment I've got 5. So I did have 10. Probably about 9 months ago, but I gave 5 of my units back, and that was due to landlord relationships. So I think in business, there comes a point and you have to really think about what's more important, the money in your pocket or your mental health. And I think the relationship that I had, the 5 properties that I gave back were spanning over 2 landlords. And I just think they wanted to be heavily involved in the process of everything and tried telling me what to do, which is not in the agreement. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Otherwise, they would be doing it. And I just think, you know, there comes a point and you really need to make a decision. What's more important, the money or your health? And so for me, I chose my health, and I was actually on holiday last year and I looked at my mum and I said, I'm going to give these properties back when I get home from this holiday, because it was just a nightmare. And that's not that, you know, I struggle with relationships with landlords at all, because I don't. But I just think these 2 particular landlords were just, you know, really just heavily involved, and it just didn't work.
And that's fair enough. I think absolutely you did the right thing. I think mental well-being is first, isn't it? And, you know, to move forwards anyway, you need to be in a clear headspace. So, and it sounds like, you know, you made the right decisions, absolutely, looking at the bigger picture by the sound of things.
Yeah, you know? No, definitely. Yeah, and I'm really, really pleased that I made that decision. So,
absolutely. We're just going to do a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Amy, thanks for that introduction into rent-to-rent service accommodation. Why do people adopt this property strategy, do you think?
Well, as we were just talking about the profit potential, I think that's a huge advantage as to why people want to get involved in it. Also, I think people want to get involved in it, you know, maybe they want to diversify their portfolio. A lot of people in property, they've got standard rental units, they've got developments going on, they've got, you know, flip projects going on. So really, I think just to diversify the portfolio as well and get profit from a different avenue as well.
Absolutely. And also, from what I've obviously seen from you, I've heard from other people, it sounds like it gives you freedom to kind of, you know, do what you want to do, really, you know, earn an income and have some free time as well to kind of travel maybe, or, you know, see more family, hobbies and that kind of thing. Would that be right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely right. Something that's massively changed in my life from going to a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday is the time freedom. You know, I can work from wherever I want. And not only that, it's just I find my morning routine a hell of a lot less stressful. In the morning before, I was a kind of person who would be pressing the snooze button for 10 minutes and 10 minutes again. You know, I was that kind of person because I kind of dreaded going into work. I just really didn't enjoy it in the end. And I was forcing myself to go there. So my morning routine now is so different. Whereas I couldn't get out of bed when I was employed, now I wake up every single day without an alarm between probably 7 to 7:30. I get up, I do some Pilates, I read a chapter of my book, you know, I get myself ready, have my breakfast, and it's so calming and it's so relaxing and just a much better way to start the day when you're not on someone else's timeline.
Absolutely.
You know, it's something. I've had a previous job before and we worked on flexi time. So you could come to work between, you know, 8 and 10, and you could leave work. You had to work until 4 and you had to, you know, make your hours up. But flexi time itself, I don't know why more companies don't adopt that, because, you know, some people work better in the evening, some people work better in the morning. And I think even the flexi time model in employment is something that all companies should adopt, because it's something that really benefits people rather than saying you have to be in work, you know, 8 a.m., 9 a.m. It just gives people a little bit more freedom in their life and what they choose to do with it. But yeah, I don't have any of that. I'm not on flexi time. I am an advocate for flexi time and also an advocate for 4-day weeks, even though I can plan my own week, I can plan my own life, I can do whatever I want, as long as the business is doing well.
Absolutely. I actually saw something the other day on social media and the YouTube or whatever it was, and they did a survey. There's a few companies that do 4-day weeks.
Yeah.
And they found their performance went up 30 to 40%.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Yeah.
That's what I mean, though. But I think people, when they're given a bit more freedom and a bit more time, you know, for their family or what they choose to do, it has massive benefits for the company.
Absolutely. It sounds like it's almost like they get that time and they're kind of thankful and they try putting more in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
They've probably got more to give as well because it's more of a balance for them in their life. So, you know, and they want to give more.
Yeah. It must be, it's psychology, isn't it? Because like with like companies like Google and Facebook, years ago, I watched their business culture, the way they work and the freedom they get. And because of that, the performance productivity levels went right up because people were so free to do what they wanted and they just kind of enjoyed it and they enjoyed coming into work and you know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, maybe more flexibility in working would absolutely help in performance, you know?
Yeah, definitely agree, yeah.
Has rent to rent, do you think, become more popular over the years, like in the area of service accommodation?
I think definitely over the past few years that I've been doing it now, we've actually just gone past my 2-year anniversary of me getting my first unit.
Congratulations.
thanks. So, I think definitely in the last 2 years, I've seen an increase in people who are doing it. Whether that's because now I'm in the industry, I'm more aware of it. It's like, you know, when you buy a new car, you never saw any of them on the road before. And then as soon as you buy it, you see them everywhere. So it's a bit like that, I think. Now I'm in it, I feel like everyone's doing it. But I think it definitely has become a bit more popular. I mean, if you look at the statistics for Airbnb app, for example, it's continued year on year for growth, other than the year of lockdown. But every other year is continued with its growth. So how can that increase its growth? They have more properties. So therefore, more people are kind of cottoning on to the idea and doing it for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's becoming a strategy as well, that there's more learning out there for. But we'll talk about your services very soon. How long do people usually stay for? I mean, because I've heard that people might stay for a few nights, maybe a few weeks. Some people might stay for a few months. Does it vary like that?
Yeah, so completely varies. So I think I recommend at the beginning, when you first open up your unit, having a bit more of an attractive booking stay with regards to maybe a 4-night minimum stay, just so you can start to get some bookings rolling in. But now my minimum night stays are on 7 nights across the board of my portfolio. But yeah, it all varies. I mean, even sometimes if I've got a kind of a month booking in, and then I've got a gap of 3 nights in between that booking, my current booking and the next booking, I will open the calendar for the 3 nights to try and get it fully occupied. But across the units now, I've got three of the units have got people in for a month. One of the units has a couple in for 3 months. And then my most recent unit, which I'm still, building up the bookings, I've actually just today got a 10-night booking and a 4-night booking going to check out. So that's back to back. So, yeah, it's really good.
That's fantastic. The 3-month thing sounds like you're renting.
Yeah, well, actually, that was a couple that moved over from South Africa and they were moving over to the United Kingdom and they needed accommodation while they were looking for a new house.
Relocators.
So it can completely vary depending on what people are coming for. You could get people here on business, people, you know, just for the weekend visiting their family or at an event. So it completely varies, but I like it because it gives people the alternative of a hotel to book nice accommodation where they perhaps might live, and they can stay there for the period of time that they're there. You know, there's nothing better than having accommodation to stay in rather than a boxy hotel room, which hasn't really got any facilities. So, yeah, I like it because of that.
And that's some of the pluses, isn't it, with service accommodation, because you've got your own place, you can do your own cooking, there's usually more space as well. So, because with hotel rooms, you might need to get a few rooms out, especially if you've got a large family. But with service accommodation, if you rent a property or an apartment, you've got that space that you can share, and it actually might work out a bit cheaper as well.
Yeah, that's definitely right. And I think as well, especially for contractors who are traveling, say you've got 3 vans. So I was just doing quick maths there. Yeah, say you've
that's the accountant in you, isn't it? It's okay, Amy. You don't have to be precise, not this time.
Yeah, no, sorry. So say that you've got 3 vans and contractors that are traveling, and you've got 2 people per van. you've got six contractors.
That's a lot of people.
You don't want to be getting, as a company, you know, that they work for, you wouldn't want to be paying for six hotel rooms.
That's ridiculous.
When you get a property and it might have six beds, individual beds, you know, for a business, it works out a hell of a lot cheaper than six hotel rooms. So that's a big bonus as well.
Absolutely. So it sounds like the kind of clients that you get are relocators, contractors. Do people maybe on holiday, people on holiday, or what are the kind of clients you get?
Yeah, holiday makers, people coming to events. Silverstone is a really, really big event for us. So all of our properties, they shoot up in price during that period. And I think even, you know, if you're you live in accommodation that is close to Silverstone and that was your permanent residence, even for the Silverstone weekend, I think people rent out their properties just for the Silverstone weekend, because you can make so much money during that period. If people have got properties near there, definitely a bonus. Yeah.
Or do people also maybe put up a room or in their own house sometimes just because of that period of time?
Yeah. So actually talking about that, you know, a spare room, isn't it? So when I first moved into my own business, so left my job and moved into my own business, I actually rented the room of my house out just to get substantial income coming in that was going to be guaranteed every month to come in. Because whilst I didn't have my salary that was going to be guaranteed, I just felt a bit more comfortable, shall we say, that I was definitely going to receive X amount every month whilst I didn't have a job and while I was building the business up. So yeah, the spare room is a great idea as well.
And it's kind of testing the waters a bit, isn't it? Just to see what it's like having someone at the property as well. And, you know, just your own skills, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. Because you can, you know, you're managing your own property, aren't you? So with the person living there, so you can meet them, you can greet them, see what they're like. So, yeah, it's definitely something to make you feel a bit more comfortable, I think.
Are there many challenges with the rent-to-rent service accommodation business? And it may not be the business model itself, just as in just setting up or during the actual business flow kind of thing, maybe the state of the property, needing to make sure it's maintained. Are there any challenges at all with the model?
So I would say that as long as you have the correct business structure in place, that you have the correct processes in place with regards to signature of terms and conditions, security deposit taking, that kind of thing. As long as that is all up and running, then you have vetted the guest. But sometimes there have been, on the odd occasion, people who have slipped through the net with regards to what you notice is if people are in the same area as the accommodation itself. So if they live in the same area and then they're booking your accommodation for a couple of nights, say if you've opened up your calendar for that two-night gap of your bookings, it is highly likely that they're going to have a party in your place. And that doesn't mean that I've had property damaged, but I've definitely had extra cleaning bills from all of their rubbish that they've left in the property. And, you know, the ovens had to be deep cleaned because they've left a moldy pizza in there. You know, the story could go on. But so I don't think I wouldn't utilize the word challenge as such, because it's not a challenge if you have the correct processes in. But definitely things that do come up are maybe that people would have a party in there. But as long as you've got the right processes in place, you can take their security deposit, which will cover the extra cleaning bill, and then also give you some profit on top for you having to organize that.
Absolutely. And also minimum night stay, I think. Is it four nights that you do now? Would that be correct?
I've recently upped it to seven.
Oh, right. Okay. So in doing that, it's less likely you'll have like a party kind of situation going on as well. Would that be right?
That's true. Yeah. So, as I say, I very rarely open my calendar up for the 2-night stay, a minimum stay. It's only if I have a gap in the calendar. But if you have a gap in the calendar and say, for example, you did open up for that 2 nights, you can increase the price, which is more likely to deter people having a party there as well.
Absolutely. That sounds brilliant. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you for that, Amy, that insight into, you know, the experiences of, you know, rent-to-rent service accommodation and some of the processes that need to be followed to make sure it comes through nicely. Can you help other people achieve the same thing as you?
I can, but only if they want it. So I don't think you can help anyone achieve anything if they don't want it themselves. So someone fully has to be invested in this. You know, they can't come into it half-hearted. They can't come in with a little toe in, but the rest of their toes out. You know, they've got to be fully in. There's structures in place on how to do things. You know, there's processes in place that we have to do. There's a lot of sleepless nights when you're first setting up your property. So as long as someone's motivated and they fully want this, I don't see any reason why I couldn't help them achieve it. Yeah.
So let's say you've got someone that comes along and says to you, I really want to get involved with rent-to-rent service accommodation. You know, I've got a bit of time on my hands as well, and all the rest of it. How would that discussion go forwards, basically?
So I actually offer a one-to-one mentorship program. So it is something where I take someone from the very beginning of their journey. So creating a business plan, creating the company, you know, making sure that this is lining up with what they want, because I would never want anyone to get involved in this if this wasn't something that they truly wanted, you know, explain everything that's behind that. And then it's basically just a handhold for them of the whole process of service accommodation from start to finish.
And let's say, for example, the general structure starting from session one, how does that work out in moving forwards?
So the general structure. So as I mentioned, we would create a business plan to ensure that their goals aligned with this model. And to make sure that this structure is something that they can do, check that they've got the time for it, and, you know, just check that this aligns with their life. And then we'd start right on starting the business, creating the business, creating the bank account. You know, it's a real step-by-step process. And then it goes into contacting landlords, how to get your first deal, structuring that, and then taking it right through to the styling of the unit, how to advertise, and the management at the end of it.
Do you also maybe work with that person in terms of looking at location screening?
Yeah, so drilling into deal analysis. So, you know, checking that the correct property in the correct location is going to make the figures that we want to see. So the deal analysis also drills into the location. So you can't just have a property in the middle of nowhere and expect it to be making you £1,000 profit a month, because it doesn't work like that. The usual areas that we look at are, you know, high turnaround of people in them. They've got new businesses being created. They've got properties coming up, new build properties coming up for relocation clients, and also workmen, because they'll be building the property. So we really drill into the area and look if that's going to be an area that will work under this model.
Are any of your mentees, are they from varied backgrounds, or did you find it similar? Or
yeah, I find that the majority of people who come to me, they're people who want to get out of their job. So they're just, you know, sick of maybe not having enough time with their family, or just for themselves. They just, you know, they want a change. I usually find, actually, that 10 years, a lot of people who I've been speaking to lately, they seem to be at the 10-point mark in their career, and they want a change. They want something different. So I've been speaking to people in various industries, actually, and they all seem to have worked in their career for 10 years. And then they've got to the point where they think, this isn't for me anymore. You know, we're different people, aren't we? We change. So, 10 years seems to be the point. So,
yes, 10 years, interesting. What, in terms of landlords, why would landlords choose to rent to a company that does service accommodation?
So, not only is the rent guaranteed every month, it also hasn't got any reductions of management fees. You know, if you go to an agent to rent your property out for you, they're going to be deducting their management fee every single month. So our guaranteed rent doesn't deduct that. We take care of all the internal and external repairs of the property, which, again, you don't get when you've got a normal tenancy. It's your responsibility to take care of that. The hassle-free process, really, for the landlord. You know, we're taking care of everything at the property. And if he wants to be, he or she wants to us to let them know, then we will. But if not, we won't let them know. So we'll just take care of that. We do fixed term rental periods of 3 to 7 years. So that's guaranteed rent of X amount for 3 to 7 year period. So you know how you could get a tenant in for 6 months and then they might move out, and then you've got kind of a 2 month void period of where you're paying for advertising and you haven't got anyone in the property. You know, do that over a 3 year period and you've now got 6 months of a void period where you're not getting any rental income. You don't get any of that with us. So in a long-term view of it, the landlord is getting a lot more money for renting it for us because he doesn't have any void periods. Also, the property is insured by our company. So again, you don't get that with a tenant. You know, the property is the landlord's, and if the tenant damages it, yes, he can reduce it from the deposit. But we take care of the property like it's our own. We have to give the property back to the landlord in exactly the same condition that we receive it in, if not a better condition.
Absolutely. So the company pays for the landlord's insurance. Is that right?
So not the landlord insurance. So they still have to get
that's
insurance,
right. Yeah, I thought so.
But
yeah,
the insurance for the property. So we have professional indemnity and public liability insurance. So just if anything happened at the property, it would fall on us. Whereas for a landlord, if anything happened to a tenant when they were in the property, it falls on the landlord.
I suppose the other question is, is it difficult to get a landlord on board? How easy is it?
Yeah, I would probably say that is the most difficult part of it. And I think that stems back to people just aren't aware. They don't know enough about what we do, you know, all the benefits. They don't know that we have to return the property in exactly the same condition, because you can imagine, you know, if you've got a property and you're a landlord and you think the difference of having a tenant in for 6 months rather than 4 or 5 people going in and out over 6 months, you might think the wear and tear on your property would be more. So it is a bit of the, you know, one of the more difficult things, finding landlords who understand and want to hear about it. But I think as long as you explain all of the benefits of renting it out to you as a company, people do get on board. People do, yeah.
Can people joint work with landlords as well in service accommodation, rent to rent?
Yeah, I've done a profit share structure with one of my landlords, which is where we have shared the profit. So I haven't taken on any of the bills or rent. We share the profit. So the landlord is paying for the mortgage, you know, as he would be. And he's also paying, he or she, sorry, will also be paying for the bills. But we share the profit at the end of it. So it gives the landlord more opportunity to make more money, because it's not a fixed rental amount every month. But at the same time, they could also receive less money 1 month. So it swings around about. No risk, no reward. That's what I always say.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. What's your future plans now?
So my future plans, I want to grow and expand the service accommodation business. So always looking for new properties to take on from landlords. And then I want to get that up and running so that that's fully running without me having to be involved in it. Then I want to start getting involved in things like buy, refurb, refinance, rent. I'm really interested in that property strategy. Development in the future, and also just expanding the training, getting an online course out there, and you know, start hosting some network events as well.
It's fantastic. You sound very busy.
Yeah, I you have to keep yourself busy these days, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. How would you advise people to change their mindset on what they can achieve?
So how I would advise people to change their mindset is they've got to believe in themselves. The initial thing that I would tell anyone, you have to believe that you can do it. If you don't believe that you can do it, you're not going to do it. So it even stems back to what I'm saying about when you go into things half-hearted, you can't go into it half-hearted because it's not going to work. You've got to believe it's going to work. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe that you can do it, and it will all work from there. Another thing I would really recommend, reading books. A lot of, and I don't mean kind of thriller books, you know, stories about, various stories. I mean business books from people who have been where you are, and then they've created a business and they've progressed to the point that they're a millionaire now, and how they've done that. I think that is a really good thing to do. When I went into the first year of running the business, I actually set myself a goal to read one book a month for a year. To some people that might seem quite easy to do, but I'm quite a slow reader. I like to really take in what I'm reading. So I set myself that goal, and I achieved it. And that was a really life-changing thing for me, I think, just reading the various business books and reading the various life skill books. It really, really helped.
Fantastic. If people want to find out more about what you do, and maybe they're interested also in your mentorship, where can they find you?
So I'm active on most social media platforms, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all of these can be accessed through my website, which is www.avhughesproperties.com.
Fantastic. Amy, thank you so much for today, for your insight into rent-to-rent service accommodation. Sounds like a fantastic area, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much, Gavin. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you to our listeners. You know where you can find me, at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.